Yes, yes. So we are doing Bride of Chucky, of course. Very funny right now. I'm wearing a Ghostface hoodie, drinking out of a Texas Chainsaw mug. So yeah. Slashers all around.
We're close enough.
But so this was actually the first franchise that we covered here on the podcast back in season one, pre-Garrett times. So I'm glad that we can get him in here to get his thoughts on this. We covered this with friends of the show, BJ and Harmony Colangelo. We did like a double feature of Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky together.
Love them.
Yes.
Also, great. I think this opening scene here really sets the tone for the film. Very self-aware, very silly, very fun. Mm-hmm. Lots of a little bit. Hollywood commentary. I think that this opening scene really telegraphs kind of what's going on here. And a big reason why I love this film is because of how unseriously it takes itself. You know, this is just a hoot and a holler, a good time. For a long time has been one of my favorite Chucky films.
Well, and I like that this too was like, obviously we saw like the different slasher memorabilia and like kind of teasing, like, because that this came out in 98. So this was a few
years. 98.
Of course you did. So this was a few years after, what was it? Jason Goes to Hell, where they do the Freddy hand pulls out. So this is a couple years after that, but then Freddy vs. Jason wouldn't come out until 2023.
Freddy vs. Jason and Bride of Chucky, I would think, would be great 2000s new metal double feature. You know, like I would be down for that. Very similar vibes, very blue movies as well. Both of these movies just have a hue of blue around them, which I feel is pretty apt for the early 2000s.
Well, because the director of Bride of Chucky here, Ronnie Yu, did direct Freddy vs. Jason.
Makes sense.
So he did like to keep his monochrome color palette. I think it fit for the time. Curious though, because I feel like this is for a lot of people. Bride of Chucky was my first Chucky movie.
Bride of Chucky was not my first, but Seed of Chucky was, which is very odd. If you think about it, if
you
think about it,
probably so confused.
It's such a strange way to start off the series, because I remember kind of how I was with a lot of slasher villains, as I had almost kind of heard the lore, heard the legend of Jason Voorhees or whatever, and then watched the film, having, you know, the reputation of the character kind of precede it. And then starting off with Seed, I was like, this is not what I thought this was at all. What the fuck is going on? And having went back and rewatched the entire series pretty recently, actually, because for a while I had only seen up to, I think, Bride, and then of course Seed as well. So having just finished everything, and I'm now 2 out of 3 seasons into the television show, can confidently say that Chucky's he's the man. I really like this series.
Yeah, we're both big Chucky heads, and because you did your catch up, I let you borrow my Blu-rays, and then you were able to buy your own. And it's funny because this series has different entry points that could be like you can start Bride of Chucky
100%
and be just fine, and like 100%. You know, get like the rest of the details, but then Seed of Chucky has, you know, is where it backtracks into like some more of the, you know, previous lore, and kind of same with Curse of Chucky as well. Curse of Chucky, you could kind of start that as your first one and be totally fine. But then if you were going to start on Cult of Chucky, you'd be so confused. Fascinating.
Definitely fascinating.
Yeah, Rob Zombie needle drop for the win. Living Dead Girl as Jennifer Tilly struts away with the mangled face of Chucky. again, and this is such a big film for Jennifer Tilly, and introducing Tiffany Valentine, that, you know, we talked in our horror couples little bonus episode we did last year about, you know, how many franchises have, you know, when you introduce like a new character that really brings so much life into it and changes the whole dynamic, the tones of the film as well.
Great title sequence, by the way. I love that. Good. Like the really elegant cursive, and then just the mangled flesh of Chucky. It's a great pairing.
Again, that's another thing that the early 2000s would love. Title cards made out of flesh and meat.
Yeah.
Which is, again, this is a 1998 movie, but like this feels like the introduction to like early aughts style horror.
Which I am, as I'm getting older, maybe it's, maybe I can talk to my therapist about it, but I feel like I am getting a bit more nostalgic for this sort of era of filmmaking. Movies that, like we've talked about a lot before, movies that feel like you're watching a movie that don't necessarily, mm-hmm. you know, try to deliver something super grounded, super realistic, where this, it really seems like theatrical. It also, we had mentioned up top, talking about the Universal logo, feels like it is harkening back to a lot of those old Universal monster movies, which mm-hmm. are dramatic and filled with lightning. And, you know, I think that this movie is kind of more of my speed for the Chucky series, because there are a lot of different tones mm-hmm. found in this franchise. But this gear right here, I think, is kind of my preferred flavor of Chucky.
I mean, I think like everyone has their like different favorites like throughout and different tones, like you said. But I feel like this is like maybe one of the more agreed upon that pretty much everybody's like, because this gives you a little bit of best of both worlds. Yeah. We still get some dark, edgy stuff. We still get some violence, but then we introduce, you know, a little bit, because yeah, the comedy was kind of introduced more and more as like the sequels went on.
And also, as we're now getting our first look at, you know, reanimated, kind of stitched together.
I feel like this is what people think of.
Favorite look of Chucky. I think, love like kind of the mohawk, half shaved head, and all the stitches. That's my. I know it's not the OG or the traditional one, but that's
when people dress
Chucky right there.
I mean, if you're gonna dress up as Chucky for Halloween, you're gonna do the stitched look. Up makeup, yeah. you know. So,
which is also crazy, the fact that like, what other franchises, like we had already mentioned, kind of find their true identity into their fourth sequel now at this point. I would say Jason, certainly, but it's definitely rare. You know, usually in horror, it's like, and then it started to kind of fall off and you get your fives and your sixes and son of whatever. But with Chucky, this kind of revitalized the franchise in a really interesting way.
Yeah, I mean, I think I wouldn't even say it's like found their identity. I think it's just revealed it a lot slower over time, because again, this is Don Mancini Shepherd's the entire thing. He doesn't start directing until Seed of Chucky, but he still writes them all, and obviously out gay man, but at the time in the 80s, you know, is a little bit different. So it's just like, you know, with each film he lets a little bit more gayness come out, a little bit more camp come in there, a little bit more of that kind of tone. So Katherine Heigl has had one of the most reluctant horror careers, because like she's been in like a good amount in this like late 90s early 2000 era, but she is not fond of them. When she talks about them in interviews, she's not a fan,
which
and
honestly
I hate that.
I really, because I kind of, I'm kind of here for that. It because that's such a tradition with horror. You go back to like the 1980s and like, you know, the horror movies were not kind of this prestige award-winning work, anything that's going to get you, you know, your agent's phone ringing off the hook, where a lot of people took jobs in horror just because
it's
it was
work
a job and it was work. And I think it's kind of nice, you know, I kind of appreciate the grumpiness for some actors to be like, and then I gotta do four scenes with this doll in this car, you know, right in a row. I kind of love it.
Yeah, because she did this, she did Valentine, which is also had like a nice little resurgence lately as I come out as a cult favorite. She had Side Effects, another like kind of low budget thing, but like, you know, I guess I'm you know, I'm also just a sucker for like my Barbara Crampton's that are just like, you know what, I love horror. I never left.
100%.
That's where I started. 100%. Those are my roots, you know. Yeah. So whenever I see people that are like, yeah, I did that, you know, especially something like this, like,
sure.
And I think it's maybe she's grumpy because people's most common complaint about this movie is nobody cares for these kids, teenagers.
That could be it, maybe, yeah.
So whenever she's like, oh, people say I'm one of the worst parts of the movie, then yeah, fuck horror movies.
Yeah, yeah.
If you enjoyed this clip and want to hear the full episode, head on over to patreon.com/spectrecinema, where you will enter the Phantom Zone, a supernatural place housing all sorts of bonus goodies for any specters that want to help support the show financially. You will gain access to watching the watch list, full movie commentaries, as well as be able to participate in polls where you can pick a subgenre you want to hear us cover for a month, or become a producer and you can even pick a film that you want us to review on the main feed. If you cannot support us financially right now, it's all good. Just share our podcast with one of your spooky friends, as well as rate and review on your podcatcher of choice. But until next time, we'll be haunting you.